The Mutual Broadcasting System presents Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Here's a mutual note for you. Even the most active of youngsters needs a brief let-up now and then from summertime's strenuous outdoor play. Every weekday afternoon at 5 o'clock, Mutual presents a variety of programs to delight all children. There are exciting adventures in a fantastic land of imaginary characters where anything is possible and all things are wonderful. Kids and grown-ups, too, will love these fancy-free tales of out-of-this-world entertainment. The Best of the West comes your way as well every Monday through Friday afternoon, when you can listen to the cowboy songs and tunes that are everyone's favorites. The music that is part of the history of frontier days and that still is part of the background of Western life today brings the color and drama of the open range into your own living room. Everyone, young and old alike, can take pleasure in Mutual's Children's Hour that offers programs for entrancing listening. Open the door to a limitless world of entertainment for all children. Tune to Mutual every weekday afternoon at 5 o'clock and hear them all over most of these stations. Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police stopped in front of the constable's office in Whitehorse.
Bull buggy. Easy, boy.
Come on, King. Hello, constable.
Well, glad to see you, Sergeant. Thought it was about time for you to be coming here on patrol duty. I have my reports all ready for you.
Good. How are things in Whitehorse?
Well, nothing much has happened lately. Summer brings many strangers to town.
Good morning, Constable.
Oh, good morning. Oh,
hi, Sergeant. I did not expect to find you here.
Well, Sandy McIntosh, last time I saw you was, last spring at Indian Ridge.
That's right, Sergeant. It was at the trading post where I'd gone to get supplies for me and my partner, Jed Comstock. Jed and I had a claim back in the foothills, a week's ride from here.
So you told me. How have you made out?
Sergeant, the reason I came all the way to White Horse is because Jed has been murdered.
Murdered?
That's right. Now, you better sit down and tell you all about it.
Yes, true.
Well, it happened a wee bit more than a week ago. I got here as fast as I could to report it. You see, our claim is 2 days' ride from Indian Ridge. We did well with our claim. Figured on staying till the end of summer, then selling out and heading for the States with our gold.
I see. Go on.
Well, more than a week ago, I left the cabin and started for Indian Ridge Trading Post for more supplies. Jed stayed at the cabin. It was about supper time, my first day out, when I came around a bend in the trail and saw two strangers who'd camped to prepare their evening meal. Ho, ho, ho there, ho. Evening, strangers. Which way are you heading?
Heading into the foothills. Figure on hunting some caribou. See many up that way?
Oh, aye, plenty. My partner and I bagged a lot of them. Oh, say, could you spare a cup of that coffee?
I reckon so. About it, then.
Yeah, we have enough.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
You spoke of a partner. What do you do back in the foothills, mister?
We have a claim there. And they're all waiting. If you and your friend want to buy a good paying claim, we aim to sell out soon.
Why, hasn't it paid off?
Paid off? It sure has. Paid off plenty. And when I go back, my partner's going to head for White Horse and put our gold in the bank there.
Yeah, I'm glad you did so well. Oh, my name is Vince. This is Stubby. Oh,
glad to know you both. Just call me Sandy. Sandy McIntosh.
Where are you heading now?
Indian Ridge to get supplies. I'll get there tomorrow, stay overnight, then go back. Our cabin's just 2 days from there.
Well, that's fine. Sit down. I'll pour the coffee, Sandy. I'm anxious to know where your place is located if you found so many caribou. Make yourself comfortable. I reckon we have enough victuals to share with you.
Well, Sergeant, I talked with you. They gave me plenty to eat and even shared a bottle of wine with me. They asked a lot of questions while we eat.
I see.
Well, I told them where our cabin was and anything else they wanted to know. Then I went on to Indian Ridge. 3 days later, when I got back to the cabin, I found Jed Comstock dead. I figured those two strangers went there, shot him, and took the gold.
Do you have any reason to suspect they killed Jen?
Aye, I do. First of all, very few people go up that way. Mm-hmm. And second, I noticed one of them was wearing a greenish plaid shirt. I found this in Jed's hand.
Oh, a piece of green plaid.
That's right. I figured Jed must have tore it loose before he was shot. Well, I buried Jed, then came here to report what happened.
Jed was murdered about 9 or 10 days ago, then.
That's right.
Oh, those two men have had plenty of time to get away. What shall we do, Sergeant?
You stay here, Constable. I'll take Sandy and go to that cabin. They may get a line on those men on the way.
We had rain several days ago. There'll be no trail to follow now.
We may be able to get some information. Come on, Sandy. We'll get supplies and head to the scene of the crime. Come along, King.
After getting supplies, Sergeant Preston and Sandy McIntosh started the long trip to Sandy's mountain cabin. When they reached Indian Ridge, they stopped to ask questions of the trading post.
Hold on, King. Hold on.
You to come back with Sandy. I suppose he told you about poor Jed Comstock.
Yes, Mike. Fortunately, I arrived in Whitehorse just before Sandy came to the constable's office.
Sandy stopped in here and told me about it. From the description he gave, I remembered the two men.
Oh, they stopped here for supplies?
Yep, that was before Sandy met them, though. One was sort of short and heavy. The other was tall, you might say, with whiskers.
Yes, that about fits the description Sandy gave. You haven't seen them since Sandy started for Whitehorse.
No, Sergeant. I suppose they figured Sandy'd stop here and tell about the killing before he went on to report it to the constable.
They may be hiding in the foothills, waiting for things to blow over. Keep your eyes and ears open, Mike. If you happen to see them or hear of anyone who has, send an Indian runner to find it.
Of course, Sergeant.
Let's go, Sandy. We'll head for your cabin now. Come on, King.
In front of an old shack some distance from Sandy's cabin, Vince and Stubby were busy making two packs of caribou hides.
Your idea of posing as a couple of hunters so as to hide out in these mountains is a good one, Vince. Of course, I didn't think we'd really do any hunting, though.
Well, these caribou hides will come in handy, Stubby. It's a good thing we have that pack horse with us to carry these hides and some of the venison.
Carry them where? What do we want with them?
Well, look, since we robbed that Skagway bank, I've done all the planning. I figured these foothills would be the place to hide out till the excitement died down.
Yeah, that's right. We can't head back towards the border now that we finished off that old prospector and grabbed his gold. The Mounties will be watching for us if that other fella Sandy reported the killing.
Listen, I figure on paying some of that gold to the one of the Indians around here. We need a guide to take us by a roundabout way to the Alaskan border so we'll not have to go through any settlements.
Well, I don't like the idea of having the Mounties after us.
They can't prove we did the killing. Maybe they'll think that Scotchman Sandy did it himself.
Yeah, maybe they will. How soon do you think we get started from here, Vince?
We'll leave in the morning. There's a small Indian village near here, just a couple of miles away. We'll go there, get a guide, and then head for the Alaskan border.
The following morning, Vince and Stubby arrived at the Indian village on horseback. The stolen gold was in their saddlebags. At first, the Indians were suspicious of the two men. But after Vince explained to the chief that they had come as friends and had brought gold, the Indians became friendly and listened attentively as Vince talked.
Chief, we'll give you gold for an Indian brave who knows the mountain trails well. We'll give him gold, too, for guiding us where we want to go.
Young brave Suko know trail well. Him plenty good guide. Him show many hunters where to find caribou.
No, we don't want caribou, chief. We want someone to guide us to the border.
Me not understand.
He doesn't know what you're talking about, Vince.
I'll make him understand. This stick'll do.
Do what?
Let me handle this. Chief, call Suko here. Then I'll show you what we want him to do.
Suko, Omete.
What you gonna do?
Draw a diagram on the ground to show him we want to find back trails to the border.
Moment later, a tall young Indian came forward in answer to the chief's call.
Chief call, Suko? Me here.
White man come as friend. Bring plenty gold. Them want guide. Me say you good guide.
Me good guide. Find plenty caribou.
We don't want a hunt, Suko. Now look, I'll show you what we want with this stick here. Right there is where our shack is, you understand? But now we want to reach the border. You see, this is Indian Ridge Settlement, right here.
Me go there many times.
Good. Now, here is White Horse. We want to travel on trails that go around those places, like this. Now, here is where we want to go.
That long way. Plenty rough trails.
You take us there and we'll pay you in gold.
Me take you.
Good. We're ready to start right now.
No, that not good. You go, wait at shack. Me come when sun cast shadows. Today braves have big sun dance. Me fine dancer. Me not leave now.
Tell him he has to come with us now.
No, Suko right. Braves have big sun dance. Him not leave till sun cast shadows.
But listen,
shut up. We don't want to make him sore. All right, Suko. We'll get back and wait at our shack. You come there after the sun dance, and we'll set out for the border with you as our guide.
That same morning early, Sergeant Preston and Sandy arrived at the cabin where Jed Comstock had been murdered. As they opened the door, Sandy remarked,
"Well, Sergeant, here we are. I cleaned the place before I left for White Horse.
Now that we're here, it's not going to be easy to trail those two men, Sandy. King could get the scent of one of them from that piece of cloth, but any scent they may have left when they rode away has been washed out by now.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Is there an Indian village anywhere near here?
Aye, there is. The chief was friendly to Jed and me. We did some trading with him and his braves.
The thought just struck me that they'd know of any strangers who might be hiding in the vicinity.
Aye, that's true.
Come on. I'll let King get the scent from this piece of cloth. There might still be some trace of their trail out here. Hey, King.
Come on.
Find him. Find him, boy.
The big husky circled a moment or two, sniffing the ground. Then came back to his master and whined.
No use, Sandy. He can't pick up the trail. The scent's lost. Now we'll go to that Indian village. We may get some information there.
Right.
Steady, Blackie.
Easy, steady.
Stop, Blackie.
Get him.
Later that morning, Sergeant Preston and Sandy arrived at the Indian village.
Oh, Blackie. Oh,
there's the chief. He's coming to meet us.
Oh. Why does white friend bring Redcoat to Indian village?
This is Sergeant Preston, chief. We came only for a friendly talk.
That's right, chief.
You not come to say Indians steal?
No, I'm not here hunting one of your braves, chief, but we are hunting two white men. One short and heavy set, the other tall and bearded. Have you or any of your braves seen them?
No, them not come here. We not know them.
That's strange.
Emma.
Sandy, look at this.
What is it, Sergeant?
A diagram of some sort on the ground. The way King's acting leads me to believe he's found the scent he got from that piece of cloth. I'm sure that man was here. The chief lied to us. Yeah. Perhaps we may get something from this diagram.
While Preston and Sandy studied the diagram scratched in the ground, the chief disappeared behind one of the nearby huts. The Mountie and Sandy didn't notice Suko run along behind the huts toward the horses tethered at the edge of the village. The chief appeared again and walked forward as the sergeant stood up and turned around.
Chief, who drew this diagram?
The braves draw marks on ground to show hunting party where plenty caribou roam.
No, that isn't the truth.
If Redcoat think chief not tell truth, me not talk anymore. You leave village now, not come back. Come on.
Go on into his hut. Can you not force him to tell you the truth, Sergeant?
It's useless to try, Sandy. Unless the Indians unfriendly to the police.
Steady, boy. Steady, boy.
Find him, King. Find. Get up, Blackie.
Get up.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. The blood crisis is not yet past. The Defense Department still needs vast supplies of blood and blood plasma. These materials, for which there are no substitutes whatsoever, are saving the lives of our wounded men in military hospitals and of civilians here at home. Every American soldier who is wounded in battle needs the equivalent of 9 pints of blood. So the continuing drain on supplies is obvious. In addition to these current demands, it's absolutely necessary that we set up a national stockpile of plasma to meet any emergency which might arise. We need such a reserve in case the Cold War should lead to an enemy attack on our shores. More than that, every disaster, fire, flood, explosion, or earthquake takes its toll. It takes a little time to give your pint of blood. Simply call your local Red Cross chapter for an appointment. The Red Cross handles the National Blood Program, which aims to supply the total blood needs of the country, civilian and military, current and reserve. Every type of blood is needed, and to meet the demand, Americans are rolling up their sleeves. Now to continue. The Indian brave Suko had quickly mounted at the edge of the village and had taken a shortcut to the shack where Vince and Stuffy were waiting. The two crooks appeared in the door with guns in their hands as the young Indian pulled to a stop.
Hey!
Indian guy, came early after all. Yeah, I'm glad you decided to come right away, Suko.
Me come to bring warning. Redcoat come to village with other feller. Him hunt for you.
Hey, what's up, Vince?
Say, a Marty came to village looking for us.
Marty? Vince, what are we going to do?
Shut up a minute, Stubby. Did the chief tell them anything about us?
Chief say Indians not know about you. But Redcoat look close at marks on ground. Me think him know chief not tell truth.
Well, that settles it. We'll have to leave here. And they pick up our trail from the Indian village.
Me no good place. It hunter's cabin back in mountains. Me take you there now.
Good. The quicker we leave here, the better. Let's go.
The scent was fresh. So the great dog King had little difficulty trailing Stubby and Vince from the village to the shack. The intelligent husky had gone sniffing to the door of the shack. Then it turned and started on a new trail. The sergeant called him back.
King, my boy.
Where was the dog going anyhow?
I'm sure from the way King's acting that the men we've been following have been here and left, Sandy. Nevertheless, we'll look inside that shack. Come on.
The sergeant looked over the interior of the shack. The wood stove was still warm, and charred wood, which had been soaked with water, smoldered inside the stove.
They haven't been gone long, Sandy. They threw water over the wood in the stove, but it's still smoldering. Seems to me they left in a hurry.
You think they found out we were coming?
I don't know, but they're gone. I'll have King pick up their trail again. Let's go.
Meantime, the young Indian guide led the two killers along a little used trail into the foothills. Soon, they reached a hunter's shack.
Whoa there. That looks like a good hideout.
Yeah. This Indian sure knows how to cover a trail.
You better come inside, Suko.
You stay. Me go back to village now. Come back after sundown.
We're not going to wait that long. You stay here with us. We want to leave right away for the border.
Me not stay. Me go now.
Oh, wait a minute. I say you're staying. Get off that horse.
It's not good, you point gun. Me think you're not friend.
Oh, shut up and get off your horse. Get off, I said. If you don't, I'll...
Me do.
Now get inside.
Yeah, but if you force him to stay, he's not going to guide us.
He'll stay and he'll guide us, too, when we're ready to leave. Go on inside, Suko.
After Sergeant Preston and Sandy left the shack where Suko had come to warn Vince and Stubby, he noticed the hoof marks on the trail and remarked...
Sandy, the trail shows three riders. Two of the horses are shod and one isn't. That means one of the Indians must have come to warn the two men we're hunting.
See, that's possible. But I cannot see why they're heading this way, Sergeant. The mountains become almost impassable further on.
In that case, the Indian may be taking them to a new hiding place for the time being. We'll keep on.
Get up, Lucky.
Come on, get him.
In spite of the fact that Suko had used all his ingenuity to cover the trail, King always managed to find it again.
Easy, Blackie.
Finally, the trail narrowed, running between thick, tall brush. The way was rutted and stony, and the Mountie and Sandy moved at a slow pace. With King running a short distance ahead, they rounded a sharp turn and came face to face with a large bull moose standing on the trail.
Get easy, boy. Easy now.
Sandy's horse whinnied with fear and jumped to one side, throwing Sandy to the ground. He fell a few yards from the wild-eyed moose.
Sandy!
He's got a charge!
King saw the danger, and even as the beast started to lunge forward, the big dog leaped toward him, growling and nipping. Preston quickly drew his gun, and as the bull moose turned aside with lowered antlers to lunge at King, the Mountie's gun barked. In spite of the bullets that had riddled him, the big moose stood a moment, then toppled to the ground.
Sandy, you hurt?
Yeah. Just bruised a wee bit, Sergeant. I sure thought I was a gunner when he started toward me. It was King who got him to one side and gave you a chance to shoot.
There's no animal more ferocious than a bull moose, and that's a big one. Well, the Indians will find his body. Come on.
Once more, the Mountie and Sandy started on their way. Finally, when they were a short distance from the hunter's cabin, Sandy remarked,
"You know, Sergeant, this part of the trail is familiar to me."
"Oh, you mean you've come this way before?"
"Not along the trail we followed. I came to this point, but from another direction. One thing I do remember is there's a cabin in a clearing not far from here."
"Such a cabin would make a good hideout. Glad you thought of it. We'll dismount before we reach that clearing and approach the cabin on foot."
"It's a good idea. There are a lot of bushes to hide our approach.
The men we're hunting are hiding there. Maybe we'll take them by surprise. Come on, Blackie.
Hit it."
In the hunter's cabin, the Indian Suco, who was tied to a chair, glowered at Vince and Stubby as they stood near a table looking at several pokes of gold.
"Well, I'd say there's plenty in those pokes, Stubby. When we leave here, we'll split it up and each carry his own share in the saddlebag."
"What I'm wondering, Vince, is now that we've made that Indian sore at us, how are we going to find our way to the border?"
We'll make it somehow, don't worry."
"Yeah, but what about him?"
"He knows too much. We'll have to get rid of him."
"You're not friends like Chief say. You're plenty bad. You robbed. Killed.
Suco, you're too smart for your own good. If you'd agreed to go with us like I wanted, and had agreed to guide us to the border, you'd have been paid for your trouble. Now you're going to die instead."
"You lie to Chief. Him think you're friend. Him not tell truth to Redcoat. But me know you're not good. Me know you not get away."
"Suco, I'm sick of your yapping. I'll fix it so as you'll do your dancing in the happy hunting ground. I'm shutting you up right now. But first, while I hold this gun to your head, I'm going to give you one more chance."
"What are you going to do, Vince? Shoot him in the back of the head?"
"Maybe. Now, Suco, tell me, are you willing to guide us through the mountains like we want you to do?"
"You untie, Suco. Me take you through mountains."
"Don't believe him, Vince. He'll get us lost and then disappear."
"Yeah, I reckon you're right. I'll use a bullet on him, and then we'll try to find our own way. This is it, Injun. Wait a minute. You drop your gun, Monty, if you want to see this Indian shot through the head. I'm holding my gun close and ready."
Preston hesitated. He saw that Vince was standing behind the helpless Indian with his gun held at Suco's head. Stubby, who had raised his hands when the Mountie entered, waited for the next move. The sergeant quickly weighed the chances of shooting the crook before he could pull the trigger, but he realized the risk was great.
"Go ahead, Monty. Drop that gun like I said.
Please, you not let him kill me."
Sergeant Preston saw that both Crooks and the Indian were watching him intently. From the corner of his eye, he saw King creeping along the wall. He saw Stubby's eyes turn in the dog's direction and tensed for the fast action he knew was sure to come. As he hoped, Stubby cried out,
"It's the dog! He's creeping up on us!"
"Dog, what you..."
Preston saw Vince's eyes waver. The crook glanced toward King. In that split second, the Mountie's gun barked. As Vince shot through the shoulder, dropped his gun, Stubby dropped his hand to draw.
"Hold it! Keep them covered, Sandy. On guard, King."
"That was mighty straight shooting, Sergeant. For a minute, I was pretty worried."
"I hoped King would attract their attention long enough for me to shoot."
"If it hadn't been for that mutt making me take my eyes off you, I'd have won out."
"I doubt it. I'll pick up their guns."
"Had good Redcoat come to save Suco."
"You had a close shave, Indian."
"I'll untie you, Suco."
"These are the two men I told you about, Sergeant. And those pokes of gold on the table are Jed's and mine."
"Wait a minute. You can't hold us for anything. We found this Indian with a gold. He must have stolen it. We were going to turn him in.
I think this piece of material will fit that torn place in your shirt.
What?
You two men killed Jed Comstock, Sandy's partner.
No.
Me hear him say them killed old man. Take gold.
Huh? You have seen the Indian before. He's Suko from the village.
Huh. Them come to village. Want him guide to get to border. Promise much gold. Me want to go back for Sundance. Them say no. Tie me. Them say them kill Suko.
They almost did, Suko. Your people were misled by these men.
Look, Sergeant. I didn't kill Comstock. And I wasn't going to kill Suko. You can't blame me
for
that.
Shut up, you crazy fool.
Sergeant, you send them to village. Indians punish them for what they do to Suko.
No, no, don't do that, Sergeant. They torture us. Vince killed Comstock.
I arrest both of you in the name of the Crown for the murder of Jed Comstock. Suko, you go back to your village.
A redcoat, good friend of Indians.
Tell that to your chief. Tell him he and his people must trust the redcoats and be truthful.
Me tell, chief.
Sandy, we'll bandage their wounds and we'll take these two crooks to White Horse. When they're behind bars, I'll be able to say this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Here's a Mutual note for you. Mutual's evening lineup of great shows fits every taste. You can hear comedy, drama, mystery, music, and quiz programs, and more evening news throughout the week than on any other network. The adventurous spots of the world, or the small town neighborhood just like your own, are at your fingertips with their full quota of drama and comedy. Young and old alike can find their favorites for good evening listening on Mutual. Whether you choose thrilling tales of danger and excitement or news information on the important issues of the day, you can find them all on Mutual. Star names and stellar attractions put the sparkle in every evening with programs to fit every listening mood. Casts that have been making show business history shine in roles tailored to their particular talents and ensure you quality entertainment. Stay tuned to this station and prove to yourself that it's always a good evening on Mutual. Choose your favorites every evening. All heard over most of these stations. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, I've just received a strange letter. Read it.
Yes, sir. To the Northwest Mounted Police, my uncle is a murderer. I have no proof, but I'm sure he killed my father, and now he means to kill me. Help me.
And the signature?
Sally Archer.
Do you know her?
Well, I've met her, sir. She and her uncle left for the Gold King mine on Roaring River yesterday.
I'd suggest that you get up there as fast as you can.
Yes, sir.
But by the time Sergeant Preston reached Roaring River, death had already struck. And as a wild storm lashed the rugged hills, another murder was being plotted. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Here's an important announcement. Starting September 16th, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon will be brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at 5 o'clock. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye and good luck until Tuesday, September 16th. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.